terrorists who threaten our country. We took out Osama bin Laden and much of al-Qaeda's leadership in Afghanistan and Pakistan. We've targeted al-Qaeda's affiliate in Yemen and recently eliminated the top commander of its affiliate in Somalia. We've done so while bringing more than 140,000 American troops home from Iraq and drawing down our forces in Afghanistan, where our combat mission will end later this year. Thanks to our military and counterterrorism professionals, America is safer. Still, we continue to face a terrorist threat. We can't erase every trace of evil from the world, and small groups of killers have the capacity to do great harm. That was the case before 9/11, and that remains true today. And that's why we must remain vigilant as threats emerge. At this moment, the greatest threats come from the Middle East and North Africa, where radical groups exploit grievances for their own gain. And one of those groups is ISIL, which calls itself the Islamic State. Now, let's make two things clear. ISIL is not Islamic. No religion condones the killing of innocents, and the vast majority of ISIL's victims have been Muslim. And ISIL is certainly not a state. It was formerly al-Qaeda's affiliate in Iraq and has taken advantage of sectarian strife and Syria's civil war to gain territory on both sides of the Iraq-Syrian border. It is recognized by no government, nor by the people it subjugates. ISIL is a terrorist organization, pure and simple, and it has no vision other than the slaughter of all who stand in its way. In a region that has known so much bloodshed, these terrorists are unique in their brutality. They execute captured prisoners. They kill children. They enslave, rape, and force women into marriage. They threaten the religious minority with genocide. And in acts of barbarism, they took the lives of two American journalists, Jim Foley and Stephen Sotloff. So ISIL poses a threat to the people of Iraq and Syria and the broader Middle East, including American citizens, personnel, and facilities. If left unchecked, these terrorists could pose a growing threat beyond that region, including to the United States. While we have not yet detected specific plotting against our homeland, ISIL leaders have threatened America and our allies. Our intelligence community believes that thousands of foreigners, including Europeans and some Americans, have joined them in Syria and Iraq. Trained and battle-hardened, these fighters could try to return to their home countries and carry out deadly attacks. I know many Americans are concerned about these threats. Tonight, I want you to know that the United States of America is meeting them with strength and resolve. Last month, I ordered our military to take targeted action against ISIL to stop its advances. Since then, we've conducted more than 150 successful airstrikes in Iraq. These strikes have protected American personnel and facilities, killed ISIL fighters, destroyed weapons, and given space for Iraqi and Kurdish forces to reclaim key territory. These strikes have also helped save the lives of thousands of innocent men, women, and children. But this is not our fight alone. American power can make a decisive difference, but we cannot do for Iraqis what they must do for themselves. Nor can we take the place of Arab partners in securing their region. And that's why I've insisted that additional U.S. action depended upon Iraqis forming an inclusive government, which they have now done in recent days. So tonight, with a new Iraqi government in place, and following consultations with allies abroad and Congress at home, I can announce that America will lead a broad coalition to roll back this terrorist threat. Our objective is clear. We will degrade and ultimately destroy ISIL through a comprehensive and sustained counterterrorism strategy. First, we will conduct a systematic campaign of airstrikes against these terrorists. Working with the Iraqi government, we will expand our efforts beyond protecting our own people and humanitarian missions so that we're hitting ISIL targets as Iraqi forces go on offense. Moreover, I've made it clear that we will hunt down terrorists who threaten our country wherever they are. That means I will not hesitate to take action against ISIL in Syria as well as Iraq. This is a core principle of my presidency. If you threaten America, you will find no safe haven. Second, we will increase our support to forces fighting these terrorists on the ground. In June, I deployed several hundred American service members to Iraq to assess how we can best support Iraqi security forces. Now that those teams have completed their work and Iraq has formed a government, we will send an additional 475 service members to Iraq. As I've said before, these American forces will not have a combat mission. We will not get dragged into another ground war in Iraq. But they are needed to support Iraqi and Kurdish forces with training, intelligence, and equipment. We'll also support Iraq's efforts to stand up National Guard units to help Sunni communities secure their own freedom from ISIL's control. Across the border in Syria, we have ramped up our military assistance to the Syrian opposition. Tonight, I call on Congress again to give us additional authorities and resources to train and equip these fighters. In the fight against ISIL, we cannot rely on an Assad regime that terrorizes its own people, a regime that will never regain the legitimacy it has lost. Instead, we must strengthen the opposition as the best counterweight to extremists like ISIL, while pursuing the political solution necessary to solve Syria's crisis once and for all. Third, we will continue to draw on our substantial counterterrorism capabilities to prevent ISIL attacks. Working with our partners, we will redouble our efforts to cut off its funding, improve our intelligence, strengthen our defenses, counter its warped ideology, and stem the flow of foreign fighters into and out of the Middle East. And in 2 weeks, I will chair a meeting of the UN Security Council to further mobilize the international community around this effort. Fourth, we will continue to provide humanitarian assistance to innocent civilians who've been displaced by this terrorist organization. This includes Sunni and Shia Muslims who are at grave risk, as well as tens of thousands of Christians and other religious minorities. We cannot allow these communities to be driven from their ancient homelands. So this is our strategy. And in each of these four parts of our strategy, America will be joined by a broad coalition of partners. Already, allies are flying planes with us over Iraq, sending arms and assistance to Iraqi security forces and the Syrian opposition, sharing intelligence, and providing billions of dollars in humanitarian aid. Secretary Kerry was in Iraq today, meeting with the new government and supporting their efforts to promote unity. And in the coming days, he will travel across the Middle East and Europe to enlist more partners in this fight, especially Arab nations who can help mobilize Sunni communities in Iraq and Syria to drive these terrorists from their lands. This is American leadership at its best. We stand with people who fight for their own freedom, and we rally other nations on behalf of our common security and common humanity. My administration has also secured bipartisan support for this approach here at home. I have the authority to address the threat from ISIL, but I believe we are strongest as a nation when the President and Congress work together. So I welcome congressional support for this effort in order to show the world that Americans are united in confronting this danger. Now, it will take time to eradicate a cancer like ISIL. And any time we take military action, there are risks involved, especially to the servicemen and women who carry out these missions. But I want the American people to understand how this effort will be different from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. It will not involve American combat troops fighting on foreign soil. This counterterrorism campaign will be waged through a steady, relentless effort to take out ISIL wherever they exist using our air power and our support for partners' forces on the ground. This strategy of taking out terrorists who threaten us while supporting partners on the front lines is one that we have successfully pursued in Yemen and Somalia for years, and it is consistent with the approach I outlined earlier this year, to use force against anyone who threatens America's core interests, but to mobilize partners wherever possible to address broader challenges to international order. My fellow Americans, we live in a time of great change. Tomorrow marks 13 years since our country was attacked. Next week marks 6 years since our economy suffered its worst setback since the Great Depression. Yet, despite these shocks, through the pain we felt and the grueling work required to bounce back, America is better positioned today to seize the future than any other nation on Earth. Our technology companies and universities are unmatched. Our manufacturing and auto industries are thriving. Energy independence is closer than it's been in decades. For all the work that remains, our businesses are in the longest uninterrupted stretch of job creation in our history. Despite all the divisions and discord within our democracy, I see the grit and determination and common goodness of the American people every single day. And that makes me more confident than ever about our country's future. Abroad, American leadership is the one constant in an uncertain world. It is America that has the capacity and the will to mobilize the world against terrorists. It is America that has rallied the world against Russian aggression and in support of the Ukrainian people's right to determine their own destiny. It is America, our scientists, our doctors, our know-how that can help contain and cure the outbreak of Ebola. It is America that helped remove and destroy Syria's declared chemical weapons so that they can't pose a threat to the Syrian people or the world again. And it is America that is helping Muslim communities around the world, not just in the fight against terrorism, but in the fight for opportunity and tolerance and a more hopeful future. America, our endless blessings bestow an enduring burden. But as Americans, we welcome our responsibility to lead. From Europe to Asia, from the far reaches of Africa to war-torn capitals of the Middle East, we stand for freedom, for justice, for dignity. These are values that have guided our nation since its founding. Tonight, I ask for your support in carrying that leadership forward. I do so as a Commander-in-Chief who could not be prouder of our men and women in uniform, pilots who bravely fly in the face of danger above the Middle East, and service members who support our partners on the ground. When we helped prevent the massacre of civilians trapped on a distant mountain, here's what one of them said. "We owe our American friends our lives. Our children will always remember that there was someone who felt our struggle and made a long journey to protect innocent people." That is the difference we make in the world. And our own safety, our own security, depends upon our willingness to do what it takes to defend this nation and uphold the values that we stand for. Timeless ideals that will endure long after those who offer only hate and destruction have been vanquished from the earth. May God bless our troops. And may God bless the United States of America.
Okay, this is, we're just finishing up for any of you that just tuned in. The U.S. President Barack Obama's address from Washington, and he elaborated a little bit on his strategy for confronting ISIL tax-free militants. And he didn't really go above and beyond what the U.S. has already been doing in Iraq. He pretty much, said they're going to continue the airstrikes, which they've unleashed about 150 of them so far. And they're going to ramp up their support for the opposition in Syria, which he didn't really elaborate on too much. And he also said that they're going to be leading a broad coalition with the allies, which he didn't even, fell short of, outlining exactly which allies that they're going to, lead this broad coalition with. And through systematic airstrikes, they said they will not hesitate to attack ISIL where it is obviously threatening America's future. He says if they get any stronger, they're obviously going to be a threat to America itself, and they're a huge threat to the regional security in the Middle East. And he also mentioned that they're going to add another 500 service members, and he did emphasize that America's objective in Iraq is not going to be to add ground forces, which many have thought before that the U.S. might be sending ground forces. He only mentioned there's going to be less than 500 military servicemen that are going to come to just train Iraqi forces. So basically, that's where we stand, and that's what his address outlined. And we're going to be joined now by Rodney Martin, former U.S. congressional staffer from Los Angeles, who's going to give us his take on the address that we just heard from the U.S. president. Rodney Martin, are you with us? Rodney Martin, I'm not sure if we have you, but it looks like the U.S. President was kind of appealing to the public, to the U.S. public, for their support, and he was appealing through, mentioning that the U.S. is this, you know, brave force in all its fronts, and the world leader, and so, and this and that, and thus and for on, and he also kind of mentioned that he needs Congress's support. So what is the rift back in the U.S.? Does he not have a complete support for, continuing this thing with ISIL?
Well, first of all, it's important to note that this speech tonight was meant for the public's consumption. He's been engaging in back and forth with congressional leaders, with the Republican leaders. And by the way, just this week, Dick Cheney, none other than Dick Cheney, the architect of George W. Bush's policies in the Middle East, as disastrous they were, was on Capitol Hill briefing and basically giving the Republican congressional delegation their marching orders. But this was for the public's consumption, to try to get the public's support for these measures. There is no widespread public support for any sort of major ground action in the Middle East. The public's had their fill of that. So this was basically the PR part of this operation. This deal, where there's going to be 475 ground forces going in to provide technical and logistical support for Iraqi forces. Notice that the president, there were so many erroneous falsehoods that were put out by the president this evening. I mean, it just boggles the mind. And unfortunately, the average American will buy into this. The president said that the United States would support any nation that is fighting terrorism or fighting ISIL. Well, let's understand that President Bashar al-Assad has been fighting ISIL for how many years? And support for President Assad and the Syrian army, who have been ravaged by ISIL, was carefully omitted. As a matter of fact, one can make the case that President Obama is going to use this as a way to topple the Assad regime. He talked about supporting the Syrian opposition. Well, ISIL was part of the Syrian opposition, which the United States supported against President Assad in Syria. John McCain just 12 months ago met with members of ISIL when it was called ISIS.
Right. And you know, he also mentions in the third thing that he said on his four-point plan was to cut ISIL funding. And it's funny, he doesn't elaborate on where ISIL is getting their money, which we know there's a lot of accusations that Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Turkey, to some extent, the UAE are behind ISIL. And what do you think? He says they want to improve their intelligence, cut ISIL funding. Where is ISIL getting its money from, other than the, you know, extortion and obvious looting of the countries and the territories that they're overtaking?
Generally speaking, ground groups like ISIL are self-supporting. They've actually been, you know, as they conquer large swaths of territory, they take military equipment. They just took a Syrian air base and ended up with several Russian MiGs as well as ground equipment. But I'd be interested to know if, when President Obama says he's going to cut ISIL's funding, is he going to cancel al-Baghdadi's CIA-issued credit card? I'd like to know if that's going to happen. Is he going to get a hold of the Saudis and ask them to stop funding ISIL, which has been done, I think, in a covertly, as well as Qatar? I mean, let's understand that ISIL, or then ISIS, was created as part of the Syrian opposition, to topple Bashar al-Assad. It was created by the United States and, you know, part of the West. And so for now, it created this boogeyman in the Middle East that replaced al-Qaeda. We haven't heard anything about al-Qaeda because al-Qaeda lost its glitz and its marketing shine by the United States to keep people scared about all things in the Middle East and all things Islam. So they created a bigger and badder boogeyman in the Middle East called ISIL. And it just, you know, there was no fear of ISIL or ISIS just about a year or a year and a half ago, they were part of the opposition that the United States was talking about funding and arming. So this speech was just so horrific in terms of facts. We talk about, they talk about the, they're going to help the Sunnis in Iraq to defend themselves. Well, if you look at the current map in Iraq, the Sunni regions of Iraq are held for the large part by ISIL. What the United States should be doing is, basically engaging in a Nixonian moment and reaching out to Iran, reaching out to Bashar al-Assad, and reaching out, to the Shiite communities and fighting ISIS if ISIS was a real terrorist organization as is being portrayed. The fact of the matter is, ISIS or ISIL was a creation of the CIA and U.S. intelligence services that may or may not have got out of hand, and now they're going to have to do something about it, one way or the other. There's been a large demand by the neocons in Washington to return to the Middle East, to return to Iraq. Iraq has the second largest oil reserves in the world, and this could be it. Now, I think to his credit, Barack Obama is resisting that, but I think he's finally caved in, and this is his way to get the foot in the door. 475 troops, that won't mean anything. I think eventually there will be another incident between ISIL or ISIS and these 475 troops, which will be designed to create outrage among the American populace. And you'll see the Marines on the way back to Iraq.
Right. Thank you for your input, Rodney Martin. That's Rodney Martin, former U.S. congressional staffer, joining us live from Los Angeles.